The first issue in trying to figure out who has the right to these islands is to try to figure out, well, who discovered them. Discovery is a good place to begin for beginning the discussion about who should control these islands. And when we refer to the discovery of them, it's worthwhile to remember that we're really, for practical reasons, talking about the European discovery of them. It's always worth remembering that, of course, what we now refer to as Latin America or South America had been discovered by humans many thousands of years before the Europeans showed up, at least 12,000 years ago, and most likely considerably more than that, probably something more like 20,000 or perhaps even more. Now, were people on what we refer to now as the Falkland Islands? There have been some arrowheads found, the remains even of a wooden canoe, which indicates that they had been visited previously, perhaps by the Yagan people of Tierra del Fuego, and so somehow they got there. Of course, we have people having arrived at even more far-flung islands, Easter Island, for example. So it's not unimaginable that pre-Columbian people would have gotten to the Falklands. On the other hand, a missionary settlement in the 19th century, populated by a number of Yaghans, may have led to the existence of these arrowheads, and so it perhaps was not a pre-Columbian occupation. And whether or not the pre-Columbians had been there or not, the European discoverers of Latin America never much cared if the peoples who were already living there had discovered them or not. They felt quite free to claim them in the name of their sovereign, whoever was living there. But at least when you had the European discoverers coming across the Falklands, there does not seem to have been any pre-Columbians living there at that time. If they had been there before, they had left or had died out, and perhaps they didn't show up at all until these missionary settlements. So the issue, as is usually discussed, begins with which of the Europeans discover the islands, and which can be said perhaps to start accumulating maybe even an unbroken chain or a fairly clear chain of events which gives one nation or the other title to these islands. It's very often said that they were first sighted by Europeans by the expedition of Ferdinand Magellan in the early 1500s. Another candidate for having been the first person to have sighted them is Amerigo Vespucci, who could have sighted them in as early as 1502, although he does not seem to have named them, even if anyone from his expedition had seen them. Later on, 1519 or 1520, it could be that Esteban Gomez of the San Antonio, one of the ships in the expedition of Magellan, deserted the Enterprise, and in his sailings encountered several islands, which his crew perhaps called the Islands of Samson and the Ducks, or the Islas de Sansón y de los Patos. Well, whoever it was that we can give credit for first sighting them, what appears to be the Falkland Islands do start appearing on Spanish maps in the very early part of the 16th century. And so it seems, in fact, that they were sighted by people in the employ of the Spanish crown. Now, whether or not these folks claimed the islands formally in the name of the king, they don't seem to have landed on them, at least to have carried out the ceremony, and there probably was not much reason to have done that, given how small and how remote they seemed even at this time. Well, a couple of decades after all of that, we have another expedition, this one by Francisco de Camargo. What's a little bit different here is that it seems as though that this expedition just doesn't sight the islands, but they actually perhaps winter there. They stay there for some amount of time in 1540. So in addition to sighting, we have some very short-term occupation of them. Now, a full half century after that, in 1592, we have Thomas Cavendish's second expedition to the New World. Here we have an English expedition. They get off the coast of what is now southern Argentina on their way to the Strait of Magellan, and they run into a storm, and one of the ships, the Desire, which is being commanded by John Davis, gets separated from the group, and he finds himself a few hundred miles off the coast of Argentina, and runs into islands which he says had never been discovered before, and refers to them as Davis's Land. Well, just a couple of years after that, we have Richard Hawkins, who is making a expedition, and not only is he unaware of the Islas de Sansón, he's also unaware of Davis's Land. He sights these islands and decides to come up with a new name for them, combining his own name with them and that of the sitting queen, Queen Elizabeth, also referred to as the Virgin Queen, and so he calls them Hawkins' Maiden Land. Well, the Dutch seem to be oblivious about all of these names, and so when one of their explorers, Sebald de Weert, goes sailing and comes across these islands in 1600, he just refers to them by his own name and calls them the Sebald Islands, which is a name that stuck on many Dutch maps even into the 19th century. Well, no less than 90 years later, we finally get to the story of the English captain John Strong, who sails right in between the two islands into what is, he refers to them as the Falkland Channel, or now it's called the Falkland Sound, he names them after Anthony Carey, the 5th Viscount Falkland, who was Commissioner of the Admiralty at the time and had been the primary backer of his expedition. He later became the first lord of the Admiralty, and the islands end up bearing the name of the channel, and so now we finally have the Falkland Islands, which is a name that gradually starts to stick. Now, having talked about all of these different sightings and perhaps very brief landings and so on, is usually brought up to indicate who has the first legitimate claim to the islands. Does sighting, does discovery of them provide title or help to provide the title? And there's some real question about that. Early on, Christian Wolff in 1772 writes that one who, quote, encloses a territory within bounds or destines the land to some use by an act not merely transitory, or he who declares upon the land so enclosed in the presence of other men that he intends the land should belong to him, takes possession. In other words, we're not just talking about brief sightings or discovery. That discovery needs to be followed by some meaningful ongoing possession. Or as Emmerich de Vatel writes in 1758, all mankind have an equal right to things which have not yet fallen into the possession of anyone, and those things belong to the person who first takes possession of them. When, therefore, a nation finds a country uninhabited and without an owner, it may lawfully take possession of it, and after it has successfully made known its will in this respect, it cannot be deprived of it by another nation. Thus, navigators going on voyages of discoveries, furnished with a commission from their sovereign and meeting with islands of other lands in a desert state, have taken possession of them in the name of the nation. And this title has been usually respected, provided it was soon after followed by a real possession. So, what does title come from? Not just discovery, but discovery plus possession, plus meaningful occupation, plus some non-transitory use of the islands or of any territory, and we have no such possession or occupation or untransitory use of these islands after all of these sightings that we've discovered, whether Spanish or English or Dutch or anybody else. In fact, no one occupies them for any appreciable amount of time until the French do in 1764. That would be 172 years after the alleged first discovery by the British. Now, when John Strong records his landing on the islands in 1690, he does take note of the water and the game on the islands, but that by itself can't be interpreted as an occupation or some meaningful possession of these islands. And after he leaves in 1690, there is no permanent British occupation on the islands for another 76 years. Does Strong's sighting or landing on the islands of 1690 really lead to any title at all? At least according to the standard that Wolfe and Vattel set, the answer is not really